Praise the Lord. Happy to be out tonight.
Amen.
Y'all love each other?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer tonight. Lord, we just feel so blessed and privileged, Lord, together once again, Lord. Lord, we think about Your grace. We think about the health and strength You give us, Lord, to be here. Lord, you think about the desire, Lord, You give us to be here. Lord, in a world that is struggling along, Lord, You give us a hunger. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. We're just appreciative of everything You've done for us. Lord, we just love You with all our hearts. We love each other, Lord. We're gathered in Your precious holy name this night. In Your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Only Believe, page 190. Always an eye watching you. Amen. All along on the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you. Oh, watching you. Watching you every day, mine course you pursue. Watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you as you make life's great flight. Keep the pathway of right. There's an eye. It's a wrong turn you're getting ready to take, and He just pecks on your heart. Amen. It's so thankful. Amen. Let's turn to page 127, same book. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Amen. In the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you walking daily by in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you warm in the blood, in the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you warm in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you worthy, man? In the cleansing blood of the Lamb. Do your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the cleansing blood? Page 45, same book. Amen. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the leaning, safe and secure.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, what an honor and a privilege it is to serve Thee in this day and age. Lord, we thank You so much once more for this privilege You granted to us to be here this evening to gather around Your Word, Lord. Truly, there's a joy in our hearts, Lord, for all You've done for us, for Thy grace and Thy mercy in our lives. Thank You so much, Lord. Never want to fail to give You the glory and honor. Lord, as we come to this portion, Lord, once more we ask that You'll bless this offering. May it be used for the upbuilding of Thy kingdom, Lord. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive the portion You have for us this evening.
Amen.
We commit all into Thy hands. We ask it in Thy precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Amen. Anyone have a need on their heart tonight by the person in their hand? Amen. Brother Settles, would you take the needs tonight?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative of all Your grace in our lives.
Amen.
Lord, and with revelation, Lord, we can say we thank You for our trials, our tests.
Yes.
Lord, it's an opportunity, Lord, for
Amen.
You to glorify Jesus. For Lord, for You to be receive glory and Father be able to show Your attributes to us. Lord, You are truly a healer and a provider. Lord, we thank You so much. And Lord, we just pray that You would just, Lord, let that faith reach in our hearts. Lord.
Yes.
Father, that we'd be able to reach out and claim that which belongs to us. Father, for us laying there. Bless us now. Bless the remainder of the service. May You get the glory and honor in everything we ask in Your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Anybody got a song on their heart tonight?
Coming of the Lord, I don't want nothing to hinder me. I want to live by every word. I'm throwing everything aside. Every day I'm watching for that light. For when He sees the life, I know He'll come and take me home. That day is what I've been waiting for so very long. Come quickly is my plea, for I'm so homesick to see the one who gave his very life and made a way for even me. My soul is crying for that land so bright and fair, a place of perfect peace and rest. Nothing down here can compare, though my mind can't comprehend it. It's by eyes of faith I see that beautiful city He's prepared for you and me. There will be no crying, no more hurting anymore, no disappointments or no worries on that golden shore. No heartaches, no more troubles that we all face in this life. All our trials will be over, no more tears to dim our eyes. What a wonderful time we'll have when we get over there. It's a place of perfect love and peace. What joy we will share in His presence forever and for all eternity. I'm getting ready now to leave. Won't you come and go with me? My soul is crying for that land so bright and place of perfect peace and rest. Nothing down here can compare, though my mind can't comprehend it. It's by eyes of faith I see that beautiful city He's prepared for you and me.
A little song, God Still Moves, as we ask our pastor to come. Amen. God still moves. God still moves. In the heart of His children, God still moves. He does not.
be seated, and then we'll pick up the rest of it. And you all know this, what Jesus is saying here, but there's just a little something here the Holy Ghost laid on my heart as I was sitting in my room this afternoon. And so many things to minister on, but you just always want to catch the mind of the Lord, you see. And it might be for one certain person, you don't know. You know, hoping it helps every one of us, you know. As I begin to read these things again and meditate on it, I just always, as any time I go into any of the messages and the Word of God, I always ask God to search my heart, Lord. Let me make sure everything's right. You know, everything's just the way you want it to be. All right, so let's begin to read here. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. May God bless during his word, and you may be seated. Very familiar text, and I'm sure very familiar scripture that you've read many times, no doubt, over the years, you know. But again, we always must remember, as we say many times, God's word is inspired, is it not?
Amen.
And if it all depends on how hungry a person is, you know, and how their desire to rise in Christ to higher heights, it depends on that desire for that to what oftentimes people receive. But I trust that your desire is very high and have great expectations of rising higher in Christ.
Amen.
And to have his word be fulfilled in your life. Let's begin to read now and continue on and read some more now, that same scripture. Begin at the 10th verse. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now notice that. And unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, again, notice here you already know what he's going to talk about. But Jesus is saying, it's a mystery. Though as simple as it may seem to be, and it may seem so simple because we've heard it so many times, and we know many things that the prophet said about these things. But yet, a mystery? A mystery. What he's going to speak. And he's telling them it was given to them to know. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. You see? That seeing they may see and not perceive. I want you to watch how this is being fulfilled in this hour, this last days in which we live. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Think of that. they can read the same thing that another one can read, that's the words being revealed to, and are able to understand, hear the very same words, read the same pages, hear maybe on the recordings of the prophets what he said, and still they can't get it. And yet they hear the same words that you heard, or you that receive revelation, receive the very same things. But yet, by not being able to perceive it and understand it, and again, they show in their life they don't understand it. Okay? Now watch. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Okay. Now he begins to speak and gets a little more plainer with it. I'm so thankful he always gets plainer with it.
Amen.
You know, so we can understand. The sower soweth the word. In other words, the word is being broadcasted out. See? It's being pressed out, sown out, delivered out. Okay? And what's he sowing? The word. I'm sowing the word tonight again. You see? And these are they by the wayside. He's going to tell us what these ones by the wayside are. Where the word is sown, but when they have heard, so they was able to hear it. Okay? Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now think of that. They had the opportunity to hear it, but it didn't last no time. Have you seen that fulfilled over the years? You see? So it ain't like these things haven't been fulfilled. They have been fulfilled. Everything we'll read here has been fulfilled. Okay? And some of it's in process even now in these last few days before the rapture takes place. Okay? He says, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, now look at all this hearing of the word, keep that in mind, heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Haven't we seen that? People just get so excited about it and so happy about when they've heard it, and they received it with gladness. Okay? They're just happy about it. And have no root in themselves. There's nothing down on the inside. See? He says, have no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time. A time. Now we don't know what that time is. It may be 6 months, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years. You see? But it lasted for a time. Yeah. He says, and have no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Have you ever run onto that before, where you've seen the word of God came forth and they was offended with it? I said, forget it. I don't believe this stuff. You know, this is getting a little bit crazy to believe this way. You know? And these are they which are sown among thorns. That's what we want to really talk about tonight. Sown among thorns. Such as hear the word. Okay. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, riches is so deceitful. It's deceiving. So deceiving to have plenty. Very deceiving. And the lust of other things entering in. Choke the word. Have you ever seen somebody be choked out from the word? They hear the word, and my, seems to be being caught and catching on. And then something just seems to happen. The word never comes to manifestation. The word never gets fulfilled. The word never gets manifested. The life never comes forth. Life in which we speak on is the life that you cannot live yourself. Okay? Let's read it together now. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke. It shuts off life. Or if you choke something, it shuts off, is what it does. It shuts off. You cut the life off to a plant, you choke it off, it dies. You see? If you were to get something in your throat and choke, how many's gotten something in your throat before and you choked? What happens if you don't get it out? You'll die. Because it chokes off the oxygen that you need. So it chokes off life. So the cares of this world, that's things that we have to take care of. It's everyday things. It's jobs, families, homes, family, whatever it may be. Cares of this world just goes with everyone on us. We all have it. But what do we do with it? See? But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, how riches has so deceived people so many times. As Brother Branham said in Church Age book one time, he said, you know, they think it's a sign of God's approval. Not necessarily. No. And the lust of other things. That's the wanting of other things. Look how many other things we have offered to us every day. Every day. There's so many things offered to us. And talk about plenty. I'm going to tell you what we all, I've said this before, but we all have plenty. Yes, some may have more than others as far as material things. They may have this, that, the other. But the thing is, what does it do in our lives? What does it do to us? Some people can have more things, and those things mean nothing to them. They could get rid of them tonight. It doesn't mean anything. It has no value to it, you see. They appreciate maybe what's there. But then you can take another person that may have the same exact things, and they cherish it, dwell upon it, and think how they can gain more, how we can get more and have more, and then it's upon their mind and they're dwelling upon it. And to talk about getting rid of it, no way, I work too hard for that. So it's all dependent on how it's perceived in each one's mind and our heart. You see? What does it mean to us? The plentiness that we all have. You see? And the lust of other things. Now, as I said, look at the opportunity we have to keep gaining. And keep gaining. And it's made so easy in this day and age because if we want it, there's more credit cards. We can go get another credit card. If we got this in full, we can go get another one. So it makes it so easy that the minute we begin to lust for something, and if this credit card's full, we just go get another one. And then we can fill that one up, and then we can just go get another one. Just to fulfill a lust. Now, I'm not saying if there's time of need or something like that, but I'm talking about just wanting. Just wanting something, you know. And what does that do with my relationship with God? Does that make me, or does it take me to a place that my thoughts is less upon Him? My desires is less for Him. And maybe pray a little less. Maybe study a little less. Read the scriptures a little less. That's a sure sign that you're going too far. Yeah. It's a sure sign you're going too far. When it begins to take away from your purpose of being here and serving God with all that's in you, that's when it's went too far. So these things choke. Yeah. Keep getting big fat paychecks, it can choke and not even realize it. Yeah. Some family member can, maybe you have inherited nice this, money, whatever it may be. It can choke you. Because then your mind can be on constantly, look what I can get with this. I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that. Yeah. Or I'm going to put it all in the bank, and I'm not going to touch it. And still be wrong. If you see your brother in need, and shut up your bowels, compassion and mercy, then it still choked you. Because when something's choking, it's choking out life of the Word. So it is the cares of life, having plenty and riches and these things and wanting things, is it choking out anything at all in our lives that keeps us from fulfilling one word of life? One word. If it fulfills of choking out one word, it's accomplished its mission. And you're choked. And you're dying. Because one word is being choked out. Now the one word for one person may be different from another person being choked out. You see? But still it's being choked. Maybe we're not as excited about being at service like we would before. Maybe we're not as excited about God revealing something further to my heart so I can serve Him better. And that begins to fade away. It begins to die off. It's choking. Yeah, it's choking. Let's go on. I got a lot I want to read tonight yet. Let's go on. He says here, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So, again, before I go on, is anything, cares of life, having plenty, riches, having money, any of these things just cares? Taking care of the children every day. Does it choke me from manifesting one thing that God wants me to manifest in His Word? And there's a lot of things God wants us to manifest. Amen. The entire Word of God. Yes. He wants it to be fulfilled in our hearts and our lives of truly believing it and living by the understanding of it. Living by faith, the revelation. How exciting it ought to be in the house of God and receive the Word of God. It'll be so exciting. Is it that exciting to all of us? That we want to receive the Word of God and climb higher in Christ? Maybe if it isn't that way, maybe there's something choking you. Maybe it's your job. Bro Steve, I got to work. Absolutely, you got to work. Because if you don't provide for your home, you're worse than an infidel, which is an unbeliever.
How can I do this, Brother Steve? Take care of all these cares of life and do all these things and keep a balance what God wants. Again, it always goes back. Having the Holy Ghost. That's the only way. That's the only way. Any other way, it's impossible. So again, if there's this balance isn't taking place in my life, do I have the Holy Ghost? You see? Because the Holy Ghost down on the inside will tell you, it's too far. Stay away from it. Don't do this. Don't you get that. Stay away from it. You see? The Holy Ghost will balance that and keep it balanced. You see? Let's go on. In the Church Age book, I want to read a few things in the Church Age book. This is page 239, Promise in the Dark, Thyatira and Church Age. He said, the word for, he was reading about, I will put upon you no other burden. The word for burden is weight or pressure. The pressure of the Dark Ages was either bend or be broken, bow or die. It was the Inquisition, the power of the empire, backing up satanic worship. Be organized or pay with your life. See, each age had its pressures. For example, a great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches. Soft living and nervous tensions. In a complex age, I looked that up, complex age, because I don't understand these words. I know these words. Sometimes I look them up. Complex age is a group of repressed desires that exerts a dominating influence upon the person. Now think of that. Desires. Look at all the things it's offered to us to see if we'll desire it. And to see if it'll take us away from one word. Just one word. And then that's all it has to do. You see? And I'm telling you, if we can't see what Satan's doing in this age of offering everything possible, I mean anything possible and everything possible, and try to get it for a cheap price, he will do it. Yeah. If he can do it and offer it at the lowest payments possible, no interest, if paid in full within a year, all these things, and makes it so easy to obtain. And if we don't have the cash, it's so easy, sign your name and another credit card for $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. So easy. Oh, it's so easy. Have you ever seen an age where it's so easy to get something material? Some of you older folks know, years ago, it wasn't. The age I am, I remember a time, friends, it wasn't easy to get things. No. You had to work and save, work and save, work and save. But today, it's all just handed to us. Just make this small payment. You may pay 40 years, but make this small payment, and you can have anything you want. It's just the way our society is anymore. And it has made it so easy to obtain anything we want. Yeah. So easy. And what's it all for? Satan's device to try to take your heart away from the purpose you've been sent here for. And that's the only purpose that Satan has for it. You mean, all this is for, because I'm here? Absolutely. That's why Satan's doing it. To make it so easy. To make things more softer. More easier. Yeah. So quickly to obtain. So quickly to receive. My. Used to, people would have to pray and cry out to God, Lord, I need this, oh God. My family's going to starve if you don't help me, Lord. And then somebody knock on the door and bring food. So many times. Yeah. But now, easy. So easy. Yes, it is.
So he says here, for example, great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches.
Pressure? What pressure would there be on riches? Because it presses you away from the kingdom of God. It presses you against what God wants done. And it's a pressure. If there ain't something on the inside, friends, that pressure will overcome you. Yeah? And you'll give in. And you'll buy devices you probably shouldn't even have. You'll obtain things that you should never have. Yeah. You'll give your children things they should never have. That may form them in a different way that's not pleasing to God, but you'll give it to them anyway. Yeah. Because they wanted it. Yeah. I remember time, friends, in grade school when I was a little boy. Dad didn't have the money to go buy me a pair of shoes sometimes. And I'd wear them shoes with the soles a-flopping every day to school many times until Dad got the money. Yeah. Because things wasn't easy to come by. But how many in here, when you need something, it's usually there, the money is. Oh, yeah, somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere we come up with it. You know, no problem. But it ain't like it used to be. And it ain't like it used to be because for the purpose of trying to deceive you. The deceitfulness of riches. And we've got to be able to understand this mystery. Mystery? Yes. Jesus said it was a mystery. Many can't see it. And people can't see it will be caught in that trap. Yeah. And the deceitfulness of riches will grab them. And plenty. Cares of life. I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do this. And the Lord Jesus Christ puts back on the back scene somewhere. When it should be, I've got to do this first. Seek ye first this, then all these other things shall be added to me. But what's going to balance it? The Holy Ghost is the only thing that'll keep you on the right track. Yeah. Let's read what he says here. All right, page 223. I want to give a warning right here. It says, concerning the last days, that because of abounding iniquity, the love of many will wax cold. In the Laodicean or last age, self-love and love for material things will take the place of the true love of God. Brother Steve, how could that be? The love of material things take the place of the love for God? Absolutely. And if we don't understand this, you're going to get caught in this great big gooey sticky trap. Yeah. And then you'll look back and say, how did I ever get caught in this? Especially when the Lord Jesus appears and the saints begin to disappear. You're then going to wonder how you ever got caught in this trap. You know why? Because it was never revealed to you. If it was revealed to you, you'll never let it happen. Even though everything is so easy to get, everything is so easy to obtain, no problem. There's more credit cards. There's more loans. Yeah. And I'm not saying we don't need those things. Sometimes we do. You see, I'm not saying it's wrong to have it. But I'm just saying, be careful. Amen. Be careful. Yeah. We need to guard against the power of sin in these last days. Wow. Sin? Letting things take my true love for Jesus Christ away? Sin? Absolutely. It's unbelief. I wouldn't let that happen if I really believed and had a true love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't let it happen. I wouldn't let the things of this world, material things and things, take my first love away from Jesus Christ. No. So many are getting so hard because they haven't realized the effect of this last day spirit. Do you know there's a spirit going through the land?
Right,
yeah. Offering you all kinds of things. Making it easier for you to get. Yeah. We ought to be able to realize it's Satan doing it all. That's why all these frauds and things take place on these credit cards. I mean, Satan's in the whole thing. Yeah. Satan has control of the whole thing. Oh, yeah. It's time to draw nigh to God and let Him fill our lives with His love, or we will feel the coldness of the last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. Oh, reject the truth? I don't reject the truth, Brother Steve. Are you sure? When God's word has told you this is what He's requiring, that you be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no way that possibly can happen because we're so involved in so many things, I can't even think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Any time I can think about Him is when I go into the doors of the church. And hear the preacher begin to preach, and then I begin to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sad story. What a sad story. Page 118. I'm going backwards in church here, but for a purpose though. Here is where you have to believe again in love and godliness and wisdom of God. This too is needful. So you're going to believe Him? It's needful. Remember, He admonished, take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat or what you shall put on. Your Father knows the things you have need of. He who clothed the lily of the field and feeds the sparrows shall do much more for you. These physical things are not the true basic necessities of your life. If we could only really get that. For a man's life consisteth not of the things he possesses. No. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all material necessities will be added unto you. Can we believe that?
Amen.
Oh my. The people of God are not... Now here's God's prophet saying, the people of God are not material minded. They are Christ minded. See, they're seeking Him first. If they do desire something in life, they want to make sure, is this the word, Lord? Do you allow me to do this? Is this your will? Does this break your word anywhere, Lord? Anywhere at all? Will this cause me to break the word, Lord? Cause me to do that. Huh? They do not seek the treasures that are below. No. They seek those above. It is absolutely true. The majority of Christians are not wealthy. Rather, they are on the poor side. It was so in Jesus' day, and it was true in Paul's day, and should be true today. Oh, it is not too true today for the Laodicean age. It is one vast wealth where often the criterion of spirituality is the abundance of earthly goods. That don't mean they're spiritual. Because they got earthly goods. No. My, how rich the church is in goods. Wow. But how poor in the spirit. That's the problem of today. How rich in goods they are, but how poor in the spirit. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is not material. It is within us. A rich man is rich in God, not in worldly things. No. Oh, cries the Spirit, I see your poverty. I see your need. You haven't very much, if anything, to boast of. What you did have has been taken from you. You gladly gave up your possessions in exchange for eternal ones. You're laughed at. You're scorned. You don't have material resources to fall back on. But you are rich in spite of it all. Hallelujah. Your security lies in Him who is your shield and exceeding great reward. Your kingdom is yet to come. But it will come, and it will be an everlasting one. Yes,
I am mindful of your trials and woes. I know how hard it is to get along, but I will remember all this when I return to claim you as my own, and then I will reward you. Now, this is nothing against rich people, because God can save a rich man. Some of God's children are rich, but money can be such a snare. That's what you got to be careful of. Money can be such a snare. Not only to those who have it, but to those who don't have it. Oh, how could it be such a snare to somebody that don't have it? Because they'll do anything to try to get it. Break the word, whatever, to get it. Even though they don't have it. You see? Or break the word just to hang on to it. Again, if you see your brother in need, shut up. Bow's compassion. How can that be? Huh? How could it be? If Christ is in there. Huh? Way back there in the first age, James cried out to those who were putting stock in wealthy people. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons? The poor there were trying to butter up the rich in order to get help rather than trusting in God. He says, don't do it, says James. Don't do it. Money isn't everything. Money isn't the answer. No. And today it is not the answer either. We have more wealth than we have ever had, and yet less is being accomplished spiritually. Oh, yes. It is not with money that God works. He moves by His Spirit. And that moving of the Spirit comes only to a life consecrated to the Word. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy. I want to close here quickly. 1 Timothy 6th chapter. And we'll begin here at the 6th verse. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Again, we're on 1 Timothy 6th chapter, 6th verse. For we brought nothing into this world. Now, I've seen it so many times. I've seen rich people. I've seen millionaires, friend. Lay there in the casket. What good did it do them then? It didn't do them a bit of good now. All they had plenty while they was on earth and living their life in the flesh. They had plenty. But what good is it doing them now? Yeah. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And I don't know about you, but there ain't anything I'd like to carry out at all. None. No. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Wow. Just of food and raiment, be content. But they will be rich, or said, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Now, rich here says it means plenty. Yeah, got plenty. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. The more you got, the more you lust. You see? For the love of money is the root of all evil. I've seen it thousands of times in my life. Where people having the love of money was the root of the evil that was in. You see? Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yeah. Think of that. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Yeah. What does eternal things do to us? That's the question. What does having material things do to us? Yeah. You've got to admit, if you didn't see it, we can read about it, or older folks can tell us about it. Even this last day of Pentecost, people lived. How not having anything was the greatest blessing they ever had in their life to fulfill God's word. To fulfill God's word. They had to depend on God. They had to trust in God to be with them. They had to trust in God to get from A to B in their automobile, because it wasn't hardly worth being even on the road. But they had to trust in God, and God would get them there. Yeah. Had to trust in God to be able to eat and have food on their table. Had to trust in God. And God had many things he could work through and do, because they didn't have a lot of earthly goods, a lot of worldly material things. But what does it do to us spiritually as individuals? What does it do to us? I'm an individual, you're an individual. Is anything in our lives hindering our walk with Jesus Christ? If it does, you better get rid of it. Yeah, better get rid of it. If it don't, fine. But you better have enough understanding to know what's going on and not be blind to it. When we're blind to it, it means we have not the understanding to see what's taking place in our life. We don't see what's choking us because of being blind. Yeah. Being choked because of being blind? Absolutely. If you've seen somebody coming after you with their hands like this, and you've seen that they was wanting to kill you, and if you had eyes to see and you've seen them coming after you like this to choke you, you think you're just going to stand there and let them choke you? No. In any sense, you're going to run. Unless God puts you in that position, cast that devil off of them. But you're not going to, by having eyes to see, you're not going to let it choke you. No. Neither will you things of this life. Material things. Jobs. You'll not let a job choke you. Like many jobs has choked many people throughout the years. Choked them. Yeah. It consumed their life. Yeah. Absolutely. Totally consumed them. What do we do with it? Huh? And it's like the business that I'm in. Every year I keep making less and less and less. But my employees keep making more and more and more. And I don't care. As long as I make a living, I don't care. I could turn it around to get rich. I'm not interested in it. No. At all. I make a salary, and I make a living. That's what I do. But my employees keep getting more and more and more. Yeah. There's a point I'll have to stop, because then it won't make anything. You see? But I'm not concerned about building up a bunch of money. No. Yeah. I'm not concerned about it. Not even thinking about it. If it even just levels out, that's all I care. Having a desire of banking a bunch of money. No. Not even a thought. But I know a lot of business people. They want to get more. And if they got to cheat to get it, they'll get it. And the business I do, I could do a lot of cheating and get a lot more money.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of shops that do that. They bill for the OE parts, which is factory parts, and they put the aftermarket on. A local shop had just recently had put a whole front end on a truck. Great big front nose, fiberglass on a semi.
charged the company that they'd done it for a new one for $5,000-some, and they bought a used one for $1,200 and put it on. But they were supposed to put the new one on. There's all kind of opportunities in my business to cheat people and get rich. But the love of money is the root of all evil. But what do we do in the personal, our personal lives? Would we sell somebody a car that the head gasket's leaking and not tell them anything about it because I need more money? Would I do that? I'm going to tell you what, I used to be around believers that done it. Called themselves believers. Yeah. There wasn't any different than any car salesman out there in the world today. You see? To get extra dollar, save an extra dollar, make an extra dollar. Dollar, dollar, dollar. And you watch people that's got that attitude. They struggle all the time. Yeah. You know why? Because God is not responsible to provide their needs. They have broke the word of God. When the love of money has become the root of all evil, God bails out, friends. You're on your own. Hot water tank's going out. Furnace goes out, this goes out, and this goes out, and this is going, this is falling apart. Keep on going. God ain't there to bless. I seen a time when I didn't have a washing machine, friend. My wife didn't have a washing machine that quit working. But God will always bring one somewhere from somewhere. Yeah. Remember one time old Brother Bernard gave me one. Yeah. Yeah. He said, Brother Steve, you used to have it that bad in your hall. You don't know how. Nuckintuckle was for me and my wife when we first began. Yeah. I was making $145 a week and paying a house payment, car payment, and eating. Yeah. Couldn't afford a phone even. You see. But we was happy. You know. And if I seen we had a need up, bless old Brother Leffler, he worked me a little extra and I could make a little money on the side helping him. But God will provide. Amen. There's no problem with that. But just always remember, God knows your heart. He knows how you feel about these things. He knows about how you feel about that bank account. He knows how you feel about it. He knows how protective you are of it. Protect that thing. I don't want nobody to take my money. He knows how that is in your heart. He searches the reins. He knows all about us. And he knows whether you'd give the shirt off of your back. If somebody needs your shirt, you'd give them your shirt. Yeah. Yeah, he knows. You see? God knows all these things. But how are we as an individual? How we feel about the cares of life? Material things? Money? How we feel about it? Huh? We just want to keep putting more back and more back and more back. And we see maybe somebody's children needs this or that? Huh? Oh my. How do we feel about it? Again, God knows.
Amen.
Just a little something simple tonight. But yet, again, God's word is always inspired.
Amen.
It depends on how much you let it in, what will happen in your life.
Amen.
You see. So I trust that we'll be able to take the word of God and understand it. Remember, it could be a mystery to some. But you ought to thank God if he opens your eyes to it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Like I say, I want you sisters come on up. In closing, you may have that pile of money laying there. I'm going to say it again. But God knows how you feel about it. Yeah. You say, well, I handle it right. And then you go around telling people, I'm broke and I can't afford this. And $10,000 laying in the bank. And you tell somebody you can't afford this. Wow. That money made you a liar. It's the root of all evil. It made you lie. Think of that. And the only way you can keep it balanced is having the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Over money. Over money. It'd be better off to say, I just don't want to purchase this right now. I'd rather wait than to sit there and lie about it. Yeah. Why lie about it? Who are you trying to scare off? Who are you trying? You want to try to make people think you don't want people borrowing money off of you or something? Or you want people to think you're poor and you ain't got nothing? Oh, my. Believe me, I've seen it happen over the years. Yeah. I'm broke. I can't afford that. I can't do this. Well, what's that money laying back there for? Well, it's my rainy day fund. Well, just be honest with what you're saying. So simple. So simple. Yeah. But no, the love of money is the root of all evil. It'll cause so many things to go wrong directions. Yeah. And wanting to make that money and make more money and more money and more money. It'll make you go the wrong direction. It'll get to the point you can't even do nothing for your brother in Christ. Because loving that money. The day that you can't do a thing for your brother, friends, look out. You've done went too far. Yeah. Done went too far. Yeah. I'm not saying you, if you're in a business and do something, you know, but still even at that, what would you think about me if one of you brothers wanted your car fixed and come in there and I didn't even discount it for you? But I'd discount for veterans and so forth. But I wouldn't discount for my own brother. What would you think about me? Huh? I'm going to tell you what. I must not love you very much. If I can do it for somebody else, I wouldn't do it for my own brother. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And sometimes just give it to you and don't worry about it. You know? Yeah. I ain't giving nothing away. Feel sorry for you. Yeah. But some people just have their minds so tied up on that dollar bill. Yeah. The almighty dollar. And then they wonder why they're struggling and having hard times. Maybe God's trying to show us something. Yeah. Maybe God's trying to show us something that it ain't all about money. Yeah. All about Jesus Christ being for you. Hallelujah. Glory. Let us all stand. Have you got a song you want to sing? To glorify God or to praise Him or whatever it may be. Amen.
Brother Timothy? I've got so much to thank you for.
Amen. Ain't that the truth? Amen. Hadn't He always watched over you? Hadn't He always provided your needs? There might have been times it got down to the scraping of the barrel, friends. But God always made the way. Amen. Then I've got so much to thank Him for. Not only that, but for eternal life.
Right.
Desire. Longing to be like Him. Amen. Just think of the Lord Jesus Christ when He paid for everything He done. Or His prophet that He sent in this last age, and every time He laid hands on it, now I want paid. Oh, my. But one thing about it, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the giving away business. Yeah. And look what He's given us. He even gave His life for me. Hallelujah. Glory. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for He has been so good to me. And when I think of all
so much to thank You for. got so much.
Amen.
We're hungry for. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for your word this evening. And Lord, each one of us, may we take it into our hearts and weigh ourselves, Lord. And for Lord, what will man give in exchange for his soul? And Lord, when we look around at the land of plenty in which we live, and Lord, how the things that you've even let us borrow here, may we truly see that everything that we have, Lord, the breath that we have, the strength in these bodies, Lord, to make a living, the mind to maybe take our hands and put something together the way that needs to be done. Lord, there's so many that don't even have that capability. But Lord, each one of us here can say we've been blessed, Lord, to be able to provide for our own. You've given us strength, Lord. And Lord, may each one of us only do it, Lord, to provide and to make a way that we could be where you would have us be, Lord, to hear that precious word. And Lord, may that be the foremost desire of our heart, Lord, is to serve you first. And Lord, anything else finds its place where it belongs in life. And Lord, just help each one of us, Lord, to yield greater unto you. And Lord, you don't have to have a lot of money to want money. But Lord, help us to be content with the things that we have. And Lord, may we never fail to give you the glory and the honor and praise for everything. And Lord, just continue to move upon our hearts, Lord. Just continue to prepare us, Lord, for a closer walk with you, Lord. What you would have for us. Lord, as the Holy Spirit's crying out, Lord, and the end of time is coming fast upon us. And Lord, as our brother read the scripture, it's complex of riches. And Lord, how we can truly see all the things around us that are just readily available and readily just crowding in, Lord. And how it just, you can even see, Lord, just having to maintain life, Lord. The jobs seem like they take more time. It just, everything is crowding. But Lord, I pray that you'll move down in our hearts. And Lord, let us be foremost concerned with what you would have us be. And Lord, may we be a people that would be a reflection of Jesus Christ in this last day. We ask it to your glory and honor. Bring us back at the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, we'll never fail to thank you. And we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus one more time. I've got so much to thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for. For he has been bless you. You're all dismissed.